You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Mike, O.J. Simpson died.
Happy birthday, Billy.
Thank you.
How'd you celebrate your birthday?
I was at the doctor's office in the morning with one of my daughters. Oh. And then I recorded God Bless Football. And then I took my daughters to music class. And then that was it. We did a little cake.
Okay. Well, happy birthday, pal.
Thank you.
You look great.
Thanks.
We got a great ensemble for you today. I'm really psyched
for
to
me?
See this crew. Yeah. We got Tony. We got Juju. We got Jess. We got Roy. We got Jeremy. We got a lot to discuss. Boy, yesterday, what a news day. Did Castellanos homer? It would have been perfect. I know that he was like the most bet on player.
He did
homer.
Not.
Okay. So I got a lot to talk about, and I need your help because your boy's wearing it. Flat out, the clean shaven look does not fit me well. If you're ever at a bar on a weeknight and Cuba Gooding Jr. is there, you need to take a long look at yourself.
I saw him at the NHL All-Star game.
Yeah.
He was at a little private party.
That makes sense. He's a hockey fan, but I was at a bar. Cuba Gooding Jr. was there. I had to get up and leave. I was like, this can't be good.
Why?
It's just Google.
Weird energy.
Oh. Really weird. But also, energy. Like, I kept hearing murmurs.
Cuba Gooding Jr. from Boat Trip.
I mean, yeah, not most prominently, but Yeah, I thought people were just talking about the OJ thing because I kept hearing whispers. And then I looked at the bar. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s there.
Was your face shaved or no?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was shaved yesterday. So, look.
Was his face shaved?
No.
Oh.
If you guys have known me for a while, I think this is like one of like a handful of times that you've seen me clean shaven. Rest assured, if anybody my age shows up clean shaven, something has gone horribly wrong. And that's exactly what happened. Trusty barber Rosie let me down. I tried to fix it. It didn't work out. I see my cheeks for the first time since COVID. Not thrilled about it. We move on. We will rebuild. We will be fine. Okay.
What was Cuba up to?
You can imagine. Oh. Again, just...
He's up to the alcohol.
I imagine him doing the worm like, as soon as you saw him.
Let's talk about the Masters first, because there was a lot of news there. I want to talk to Jeremy about the Miami Heat in a little bit, too. Jeremy, why don't you physically carry water? Just fill up a glass.
Will do. Looking forward to providing the actual reasons why you're wrong.
And just carry water for that. But look, I pay about like $700 in streaming services a month. And for the life of me, I don't understand why I can't watch a whole of the Masters until like 4:30 in the afternoon. It's driving me bonkers. But whatever. I know there's an app. And I know I get to see like three holes. That's great. Cool. And this is exactly how Augusta wants it. Not a fan.
But has anything even happened yet other than Jason Day's pants?
That's all I want to talk about right now. We'll get to Bryson's clubs because there's always something with that guy. But Jason Day's pants. Count me in. I know it's like a normie take, but I was really bothered by the pants. I haven't been this pissed off since Obama wore a brown suit that one time. This was just such a bad look. And I genuinely, my first thing when I, if you're not familiar or if you're just listening along, it's basically like windbreaker hammer pants that Jason Day went out on the course with.
You would wear the shit out of these, though.
Oh, they look super comfy. That's something that I would watch.
You just don't want him to wear them.
No. It's
the Masters.
It's a tradition unlike any other, Jess. You don't wear windbreaker pants. And I know there was morning rain that ruined everybody's parlays. And now, like, we got a first round on Friday. It's all kooky. Not a fan. But the pants really triggered me.
I feel like this is the Chris Cody thing, though, where, like, I think Melbourne is specifically designing kind of outlandish styles for him. I know that's kind of their thing, but everyone's talking about them now,
yeah,
so it's working.
If you see Jason Day's outfit right now, he's got a big sweater vest that says Melbourne.
He looks like a pack of cigarettes.
He does. There should be like a Surgeon General's warning.
That's actually why Stu Gatz isn't here right now.
He's trying to smoke Jason Day. He's at Augusta National actively trying to smoke Jason Day. Ayo.
That's crazy.
But I know a lot of people had takes on this. My take was I was genuinely surprised that they let him out there with that. Because there's a difference between outlandish stuff like Sergio Garcia, who looked like the Oregon Duck mascot. I don't know if we have that photo up there, but that was an absurd look. Thankfully, he stinks, and we didn't get to really see all that much. And also, we didn't really get to see much of the Masters anyways, because that's by design. But Jason Day's pants were a nightmare. It was just a straight-up nightmare. Not as garish as Sergio Garcia's, but at least
that's my thing. At least Jason Day's pants, they were like a nice navy blue. Sergio is wearing like the banana yellow pants. So
like a can of Starry.
There were a couple of holes where it's...
That's actually exactly what he looked
like. Can of Starry.
That's a one seed next year when we have to bring back looks like.
So like if you were watching Jason Day play, though, there were certain tees where the wind was gusting and the pants would just explode. Comically, it was just huge. So, like, the one still image that we have doesn't do it justice. And also, we don't really have the right angle because there's just a huge pocket that looks like a trapper keeper on the front thigh. It's just one pocket. It's basically a cargo short pocket on the front. It should never be allowed. And there are standards at Augusta National. We know this.
Salute to Trapper Keepers, by the way. That was a great nostalgia you just threw in there. Holy moly.
Dawson's Creek Trapper Keeper?
I know what a Trapper Keeper is, but I don't think Roy knows what a Trapper Keeper is.
I'm 40 years old, dude.
You gotta know what a Trapper Keeper is.
You're 40?
Nice try, Tony.
Is that like one of those like finger traps? You put your fingers in them, you get trapped?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know if I can say the cultural.
Five-star Trapper Keeper?
Say the cultural thing you don't want to say.
I think I'm good.
What is this? So there was nothing better growing up than Florida had a tax-free weekend for back-to-school shopping.
They still do.
And you would go to like Walmart and you'd load up on your primetime folders. You get your Deion Sanders, you get your Troy Aikman. You put them all on your five-star Trapper Keeper and you put that in your JanSport. You were set for the year, looking fresh. That was you never got a Trapper Keeper?
So can you explain to me what it is? Because you said like four things in one.
It's like a binder that zips up around the sides.
Weather resistant.
Or has the Velcro.
Gotcha. Yeah. You put it into the thing with the holes, right?
It was so like 8-year-olds could cosplay being like business people. Have like little,
I feel seen.
Little binders.
Yeah.
Binders
you never got
I just didn't know it as that word. Trapper Keeper.
What did you know it as?
Did you just carry your books?
No. I had a book bag. Well, when I... Yeah, I had a book bag, but I don't know.
How'd you wear your book bag?
What is this?
Backpack. I can tell.
You're pretending not to know what school supplies are now? Like, I don't even understand the evolution of this character of an idiot. You don't know what school supplies are? Like, how? You know what a notebook is? Have you seen a pen before? Like, how do you not know what school supplies are? Did you go to school?
Number two pencil.
Okay, dork.
Oh, wow. Listen,
all I'm saying is I didn't know it by that name. I know exactly what he's talking about now that he mentions it. It's like the zipper thing that you would put your pencils and stuff into. I get that. I didn't know it as a trapper keeper.
No, that's a different thing.
No, that's a pencil.
That would also fit in the
trapper
keeper.
Also was a big plot point in a South Park episode, which is why I feel like he might have.
That's what I thought you were talking about. Is that not it?
Do you guys have the you remember like the pencil boxes that had like the secret compartments and like you would push something and then something would shoot out?
No,
like,
I never had one with a secret compartment.
Do you remember wrapping your books in like a newspaper?
Yeah, book wraps. Yeah.
Bag like, from the grocery store.
Yeah.
Then they made
lamination. The stretchy ones. The stretchy ones.
Yeah, the like ones out of fabric.
Oh, the stretchy
ones. That's what it is. A trapper keeper.
Game changer. And then if you didn't have the stretchy ones and you had like that laminate one at the end of the year, it was a big thing. Like you would try to take it off ever so slightly, but then you had these cheap books that would tear like and you just cost me like $7 when I tried to resell this book. Yep. Like it was just awful. Back to school shopping, kids. I think you weren't a one strapper. I don't think you were a one strapper. I think you were two straps high and tight on the JanSport, Tony.
A high and tight two strap, but then it also they sold like one strap book bags like early 2000s. I was a one strap book bag guy.
Again, to cosplay being like a business person with a little briefcase, was the marble black and white composition book the worst school supply.
We used to log the show on those.
I just bought one recently.
Billy, you
had to break them to use the
black and white. You have like 17 of these composition books just from logging the show, because we used to just
my trunk has all of the old show logs.
Oh my god, can you go get them?
They were composition notebooks. Like, I don't know why that's what we use, but that's what we use, and I have like 16 of them in like this big plastic tub that just live in my trunk.
You know what I would do?
I took them from the old studio, somehow thinking that we needed that, and then I moved them to the Clevelander, and then everyone was like, you have so much stuff on your desk. Like, half of it is old logs from the show in like 2008 that we will never need, segment by segment breakdowns.
Oh, and this would be a great bit to bring this back and read one every day.
We did that once, and then we realized like how bad the show, I don't remember.
Plus your shorthand, you didn't really understand what you were writing.
Yeah, and then there was like certain, it was the intern's job to log the show, and there were certain interns that were honestly horrific at it.
Like, you're shout out Stevie. Like, what it, we miss you.
Stevie lived in like this nice bubble as an intern where he literally had to do nothing and they just thought that he was cool.
Yeah.
Like Stugatz and Mike and Dan are just like,
came to my wedding.
Stevie's the coolest. And like, I'd go in and they like, we need an extra intern on Wednesday. And then I'd like go to
this
sit at like.
This doesn't sound like something Stugatz would do.
I'd go to sit at the intern like post and I couldn't sit there because Stevie was there.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay. And it's like, is Stevie going to answer the phones? Like, nah, Stevie's just cool.
Nah, Stevie's good.
And like, I'd have to log the show and answer the phones and do all this
stuff. What's he up to now?
I don't know.
He's not calling Champions League games, I assume.
No, I'm going to text him right now.
I think.
Yeah. No, that dude's set for life. No, that dude was in a family that there was no way he could fail. There was no way that Stevie could fail.
No, not just Stevie. I believe it was Stevie Franchise.
Stevie Franchise, yeah. He actually came to a DJ set. Yeah. That I had like 2 years
He's
ago.
He's really nice. He's Stevie.
Oh,
he just had a cushy gig as an intern.
Oh, man.
Where there was just like no expectations. Like, nah, Stevie's cool. That was just his whole thing.
We should interview him for EP. Cool. We should interview him for EP. Stevie, come back. Stevie Franchise.
I like Stevie.
Everyone likes Stevie.
Stevie was probably along your lines, though. Like, Stevie wore his backpack with one strap.
Yeah.
And like Stevie, like Tony, you also like wonder, like, you're the kid that's like going from class to class and you take all of your books that you need to for the classes.
Nerd.
And you have
nerd.
Like this giant turtle shell that weighs like 900 pounds on your back, like causing scoliosis or whatever it is that happens to all these kids.
Impossible.
And then you're like, how the hell does this kid in my class have a book with like one sheet of paper in it and there's nothing on it and they have like perfect form, they're never gonna have back issues or anything. Like, how are they getting by doing this without any books? I don't understand.
Because the trick was always there's a book in the class and I just get the book that's in the class. Why bring my own book? My locker would have all my books the entire year and I would never go to it. And at the end of the year, all my books were there and I was good.
Mechanical pencils. Do you remember the mechanical pencils?
0.7 or 0.5?
Yeah, you had to get the right
borrow
one.
Borrow some lead? Yeah. Remember borrowing lead?
Oh, borrowing lead.
And erasers?
Yeah. Oh, erasable pens. That was also a game changer.
They never worked.
Oh,
yeah. No. Yeah, they never worked.
Remember when the whiteout strips dropped?
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy.
That was a game changer.
When the whiteout strips dropped, that's a moment in time. Like, I've been with this liquid paper for years and years and years.
Painting your nails with the liquid whiteout?
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Fumes coming out of that.
Did you guys do the thing with Elmer's glue on your hands?
Of course.
And then you like rip it off like it was your skin and you're like, what's happening? This person's ripping off their skin.
You guys ever taste Play-Doh? It's salty.
Honestly, no.
What a bait and switch.
Play-Doh brand Play-Doh or just Play?
No, Juju's absolutely right.
I want a bait and switch.
I want
to yes and this.
The fine people at Play-Doh really played a trick on us because it smells delicious. You want to eat Play-Doh just
and
by
the
smell.
It looks delicious.
It looks great.
Did you guys ever eat the like Baybel cheese wax balls? Because that was a big thing in my middle school where there was one kid who would always eat them and he'd like take all of the extra wax and make like a shape out of it and then he'd eat it.
The red?
Be like, ew!
Like the red wax?
Yeah, like the red wax. It's so disgusting.
Yeah, it is very salty. It is way too salty.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world, but once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite. cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
Teammates can't shoot from three. Now they're gonna see a different Jimmy. Now he's just playing Nickelback in the locker room and
Stugats.
They'll play D and shoot threes as they chase the Nets for the sixth seed. These five words in his head scream, are we winning games yet?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Jeremy, the Heat are sucky. The Knicks just had a win last night that the Miami Heat are showing you time and time again. They're incapable of. Here's the deal with the Miami Heat. I know they're sucky because when they play good, healthy teams, they lose. And often, they get creamed. It's bad. This is not the same team, and I'm sorry to say this, but we're here with the Jimmy Cliff. We're at the Jimmy Cliff. We were at the Jimmy Cliff in the finals, but you give him a pass because he had a historic playoff run. The guy's a machine. And with all due respect to Jimmy Butler, I've been expecting this. We've all been expecting this for 3 years now. And the guy, he may prove us wrong again. And I've been afraid of this take because, for whatever reason, as he said, didn't he just have a quote, Jeremy, that says, in the playoffs I go nuclear?
Yeah, that was a behind the scenes of his latest Hulu commercial.
Okay, he does go nuclear in the playoffs. And that's all that Heat fans have right now in terms of hope, is that you get some guys coming back. They clearly miss Duncan Robinson, who, to his credit,
big time,
has really improved.
He's one of the most important players on the team.
Oh, obviously. And if he is that in the playoffs, okay, you can battle, especially depending on the draw, that Giannis injury. You could see a path if Jimmy goes nuclear. I guess I've been given the motivation for the last 2 years now, and I'm not going to stop because I honestly want this team to win. I would love to be wrong. I loved being wrong last year about them. I love the Miami Heat. I think Coach Spo is the best coach maybe in the history of that sport. But this team looks done. This looks like the end of an era. This looks like an offseason where you got to look at this roster and consider just breaking it all up.
I can totally understand why you feel that way. There have been all sorts of signs that this team is not as good as they were last year in some ways, right? Last year, it was actually the opposite. They were losing to the bad teams, and they were beating the good teams. And the struggles with their offense were pretty much simply because they weren't hitting their open shots. They were still creating good looks and then missing open threes. And so when their role players got hot in the playoffs, that's why the run happened. This year, the offense goes through these stretches where for 6-7 minutes at a time, they cannot score a bucket unless they're getting to the line. And so obviously, there are all sorts of reasons to be concerned. On the same note, they've, as a team, have the fifth most games missed, and they are the only team in the bottom five in terms of games missed by their players. And games missed, I mean due to injury. They're the only team amongst that group that's over 500.
Right.
They have a better record this season than they did last year. And if you look at this entire run, the one seed that they had a couple of years ago is actually the outlier.
Yeah.
Every year, they've been right around here in the standings, 44, 45 wins. Every single season near the bottom of the Eastern Conference or at the middle of the Eastern Conference, and then come playoff time with the best coach in the league and one of the best playoff performers in the league, they find a way to get it together.
But Jeremy, and I'm hearing your argument right now, and you're laying out sound points, but they've never had a year where when they match up against the cream of the crop, they look this bad.
Yeah, no, and that's entirely fair. The flip side of that would be is if they scored a total of 8 more points in 2 games over the last week, they'd be 8-2 in their last 10 with wins over the Pacers and the Sixers, and we'd all be celebrating the fact that they're about to be the 3 seed in the conference. Right. So, and understandably, they did not get there.
They're struggling to get across the line against the Pacers and the Sixers.
Yeah, they're getting blown out by the great
teams.
Much
better than that.
Yeah, are they? Because there are not teams outside of the Celtics who are better than that. Like, all of these teams are bunched up by a couple of games, particularly if you're looking at a Giannis-less Bucks, potentially, or even a hobbled Giannis. That was very difficult to say. I would say that the Eastern Conference is up for grabs outside of Boston, right? And then you find a way to get there because all of these teams are bunched up by three games. There is still literally the same path ahead of them. If the Heat end up in the play-in and they win that first game, whether that's against Orlando or Philadelphia, that's pretty much what they're looking at the moment. If they can find a way to win that first game, you get the Bucks, the Knicks, and the Celtics as your path, more likely than not.
I've got no hope that they can actually mow through those teams that you listed.
The thing that I would say is, I said this on the show a couple days ago, I have more concern about the one-game samples in the play-in than I do over a seven-game sample against any of those teams. They can win 4 out of 7 games against any of those teams. Over their last 10 games, they have the second-best defense in the league, the 11th-best offense. They're 6-4 over that stretch, and it's with a few close losses. They were blown out by the Mavs, but the Mavs over the last month have been the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, no, I'm going to take a future on the Mavs. Hole punchers, Tony.
They're great.
No, the thing
hole punchers, absolutely.
Yeah, hole punchers, pretty cool.
Yeah.
The thing I would say is that last year's team was so much better in their role players than this year's team is. That's the issue. When you have Max, you have Gabe, you had Duncan, you had guys that were coming off the bench energized, scoring points.
Is Caleb Martin
in the
still
playoffs,
on the team?
By the way.
Is Caleb
they
Martin still on the team?
The
Caleb
sure,
Martin,
sure, but, all of them.
But they were there,
Caleb
though.
Martin. You've been called out, Caleb Martin.
The role,
stealing money, Caleb Martin.
The role players. Cole situation affecting him.
What is going on?
That's not even
is it his twin?
Cole.
Do we have the right Martin?
The role players on this team are not playing as well as last year. First of all, the role players on the team last year really struggled. They were all bad, like all of them.
But they all ascended to the mean in the postseason.
Exactly.
All at the right time.
As shooters, all at the right time. The argument that you can make that could potentially happen again this year, and I'm not.
Yeah,
it's
but is
different.
Their shooting numbers? Because last year that was a topic that these guys are not playing at all to their averages, and you could actually make an argument that they're going to ascend to the mean with this year's team. I just don't think they got it in them. They're bad.
No, the issue is that they're not creating shots. They're not, and the bigger problem has been it's because they're disjointed as a roster. So with guys missing games the way that they have, there have been so many moments where you're like, all right, they're finally going to be healthy. And then now Duncan and Terry are out. When Tyler came back, they had one game where it was the entire roster and Duncan was still hobbled. The reality is, as you look at the end of the season, Terry Rozier has a neck issue. He'll be fine for the playoffs. I don't know about Duncan Robinson.
That sounds like a threat.
But if Duncan Robinson doesn't play, Tyler Hero steps right into that role. And he's been great since coming back from injury.
Offensively, he's been
great. He's been passable defensively for what it's worth.
The team just doesn't have the juice.
As much as we're saying right now about the Heat, you still said the most important thing. Their coaching is the top tier.
Mm-hmm.
And Boston, as a Boston fan, I still fear that part of the Heat.
Yeah.
We don't have what that means to the Heat culture. We don't have the late game dominance. We don't have the late game performances or any of the things that the Heat have. And so even though we're number one seed, I still fear the Heat in that 7-game series because of just the bones of the organization being more secure than the Celtics.
Well, it's Mazzulla versus Spo, or it's Doc versus Spo, and you feel great about your hand.
And that's agreed, right? That's the coaching aspect is a huge part of it. But you can coach guys, and if they're not that good, you're not going to win, right? At the end, I know the steam was kind of coming out with Jimmy. He was tired. The team was tired. But if you look at the Eastern Conference Finals and the finals of last year, the Heat went, 2-9?
We all saw what was going on
terrible.
In that NBA Finals. We didn't want to say it out loud.
They got beat by the best team in the world.
No, of course, but
it's one thing to get beat.
Yourself.
They're the only team that got a game off the Nuggets.
I understand. It's one thing to get beat by the best team in the world. We all saw what was happening during that NBA Finals, and it's not that we were missing shots. Jimmy wasn't taking shots.
No, that's
Jimmy
fair.
Wasn't
He's had some
going
issues.
To the hoop.
He's had some issues when he can't get to the line, and there's defenders in that paint, and he's backed away from those, get the role players involved and hit some shots because he was doing some of that. Those are the things that we've called
like
Bam out for.
It felt like 2010 Mavsy.
I wouldn't quite go that far with it because they were so clearly not the better team. Like, the Heat were the better team than the Mavs in that example, and their mental makeup is what allowed them to LeBron's mental makeup is what allowed them to lose that
series. But do you remember
that
elimination game? Against Denver, Jimmy finally started putting up shots like midway through that fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And he started cooking again. And with him, it was almost like a mental block, like, I'm not going to get the calls. and I'm not going to get to the free throw line. And my entire game and this entire team is predicated on me getting to the line, getting points there with 0 seconds coming off the clock and our defense getting set up. And he wasn't doing that. Moreover, we fast forward one season. He had like maybe like a 3-game stretch this season where he could be like, okay, he can be that guy again. That's an entire season's worth.
He and they ran out of gas at the end of last year after their 4th out of 5 seasons, or rather 3 out of 4 seasons going late into the postseason. Mind you, also a bubble year in there where they were going back-to-back years of playing deep into the playoffs. They got knocked out by the Bucks that year after for a reason. And so you look at this season with Jimmy Butler as compared to last year. He's played 6 less games, so he'll finish with 4 less games than he did last year in terms of games played. His efficiencies are all right about the same. Last year, he averaged 22 points. This year, it's 21. This year, he's shooting 49% from the field. Last year, it was 53.
What about
he's
the
shooting
numbers?
5% better from the three-point line. The free throw numbers are down by just an attempt per game. Mm-hmm. What you're looking at, and it's fair, is in a number of big games, like the game against the Mavs, which you could argue, big game, not big game.
That was a big game.
Huge
game.
But whether or not it was a big game, you can highlight singular performances where you're disappointed he hasn't gotten to the line the way that he should have. He did against the Pacers, and the likelihood is the guy has to put his body on the line in this postseason for the Heat to have success.
We're looking at a Heat team where Jimmy Butler occasionally goes missing, and that's not the formula.
No, it's not.
Enter Terry Rozier.
I expect that he
Terry
will show
Rozier
up for the postseason.
Put his hand up, and he'll take the bad shots. No! And if someone's going to take the bad
it'll
shots,
it'll be Tyler Hero.
It's got to be Jimmy.
And look out for the Sixers, by the way. They are healthy
They're
at
so
the
good.
Right time of the year, bro.
Don Lebatard.
During one long evening at the Burtons, Robert sent their guest Tennessee Williams and director Joseph Losey running for the door. But in Burton's words, she insulted Rex. She's talking about Rex Harrison. Rex sexually, morally, physically. Lay on the floor in the bar and bark like a dog. Started to masturbate her basset hound.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What's happening?
I don't know.
There's also another one here. This is the book. And I'm like, how do I, you know, because to Mike's point, he has to know I read the book. Well, okay, listen, I highlighted this part, so you know that I read it.
Stugatz.
Have you ever met Mike before today?
No,
first meeting.
So your thing is in the first 5 minutes, let's talk about dog masturbation and giraffe.
Because I knew he would be able to relate to the subject matter. He would know what it's
How
like.
So? When,
because he's a guest on the show and the guy's trying to impress him. He goes, okay, what's going to go with? So I figured masturbating a basset hound was definitely something he could at least appreciate.
Weird assumption to make.
Was he right or wrong?
I'm gonna say he was wrong.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
All right, as we said, there's a lot to discuss. We didn't even talk about what was, outside of O.J. Simpson, maybe the story of the sport, which was Ipe and Ohtani. And my God, pal, Ipe. I came around. I like this guy. I like the cut of your jib, Ipe. And he's being given flowers for not betting on baseball. So we're going to bring in our baseball experts. And Adnan, you can see Adnan on MLB Network, occasionally NHL Network. I got some hockey stuff, but I'll text you privately. We have David Sampson. Juju, you made it to a tour stop, the City Winery tour stop with David Sampson. That was cool to see.
Yes, sir. It was amazing, brother. My brother David had so much control over the crowd. He had them in the palm of their hands. Yeah. Dog. Hilarious.
Were you at the Dan Uggla show?
Yes, Dan Uggla was there showing love.
I saw a photo of Dan Uggla, and I was stunned that he wasn't wearing like flip-flops.
How are the forearms?
The forearms actually not
still there.
They're still there, but it's
not as good as they used to be.
I mean, who is?
He got an 18-year-old child, a son. Like, I can't believe
it. What?
He has an 18-year-old. Yes.
Wow.
No, say that. He's got an 18-year-old son?
Son right now looking amazing.
Really?
Salute to Dan.
Okay. Well, David and Adnan, you're our movie experts. There's a lot to discuss. There's some movie trailers that dropped that I want to get your opinions on. I don't know if you're big trailer guys, but they got people talking. But let's begin with the baseball story du jour, which is, I guess Shohei wasn't lying. His story is holding up here. Do you agree that Shohei Ohtani's defense holds up in the court of public opinion? David Sampson, we begin with you.
Well, there's an affidavit, a 37-page affidavit, which basically echoes everything that Shohei said, which is, I had no idea until I was told in a hotel room in Korea that I was missing money. And it wasn't $4.5 million. It was $16 million. And apparently his interpreter was a gambling addict making 19,000 bets and losing $40 million gambling on games, anywhere from $10 to $160,000. But no baseball, and I had no idea. And by the way, the interpreter pretended he was me and called the bank and changed phone numbers and contacts. And I said on Nothing Personal this morning that I can't change the phone number on my Uber Eats account without three different ways of authentication and codes being sent left and right. And somehow Bank A, which is what they call it in the affidavit, Bank A allowed all of these huge wire transfers. So I still think there's going to be more to the story. But what is happening now is wire fraud and bank fraud. It's not a gambling inquiry into ePay. It's wire fraud and bank fraud, which is why MLB is still investigating, because they have to make sure that there was no connectivity between Ohtani and any gambling on sports, and certainly not baseball.
I was going to say, it's a sickening situation, quite frankly, because this guy completely abuses the trust of one of the great players in the sport. And the question that a lot of us had is, how did he get access to the money? Apparently, they set up the account together. Like David said, he impersonated Ohtani on the phone while trying to get a car loan, and then was just completely reckless and clearly had no remorse whatsoever. To David's point, the 19,000 bets, that's 25 bets a day. And then they deleted text message March 20th to his bookmaker. He said, have you seen the news? Yeah, you know, I stole from him. Like, it's clearly unequivocal what eBay was about. And it's just, it's insane just how lawless he was, how brazen he was, and what he did to Ohtani. So it's clearly disappointing. I think in many ways it's a best case scenario, if you're looking at a big picture, that Ohtani wasn't involved, that there was no gambling on baseball. But it's upsetting, to say the least. And I was kind of stunned at just, like I said, how brazen Ipe was. And I'll say this, guys, because I know there's always going to be some skepticism. This was the feds. Like, this is under the threat of perjury that Ohtani cooperated. He gave up his phone. I mean, you know, Tom Brady famously would not give his phone to Roger Goodell. So
that's what Brady was suspended for, ultimately, not for breaking his cell phone.
I've never seen a smoking gun like his statement, which is, technically, I stole from him. It's a... What was the in Minority Report with Leo Crow and all the pictures on the bed? An orgy of evidence is, I think, what they called it. And this was one of the biggest smoking guns you could have in this affidavit. But Adnan, where I just would beg you to think about what the feds were investigating, it's a big investigation involving illegal bookmaking. And it's been going on for a long time. This is just a part of it. And they were looking for ePay, and the charges in the affidavit are wire fraud and bank fraud. It doesn't go to gambling. It's not a concern. They put the line in the affidavit, there were no bets on baseball, but it only is from a period of time of 21 to 24. Ohtani's been in the league longer, which is why MLB released a statement saying, we're going to wait for all criminal proceedings to be resolved, and then we will see where we are, because MLB can't get caught with their pants down here. They cannot have anybody come out anytime with any bets that Ipe or anyone made prior to 21 that may have involved Ohtani.
But are neither of you skeptical of the fact that Ipe and Ohtani, we were told beforehand, were so close, they were best friends? This guy somehow is making these insane amounts of bets. He's so deceptive. He's so calculated. He's stealing from Shohei. Shohei has no idea. He's completely in the dark, completely blindsided by all of this. Somehow, while they're so close, he never sees someone who's lost $180 million gambling and won $140 million gambling. He's never seen this guy sweat or any sign that anything was amiss, right? He's so careful and calculated. He's such this evil mastermind to steal from Shohei. And then at the same time is so sloppy and reckless on text messages, where he's like, yeah, I stole from him, LOL, whoopsie. And then that's how they catch him.
Like,
that seems strange to believe, that he was so careful and calculated. And then all of a sudden, when we're looking for a smoking gun, oh, there it is. The day that the investigation's going on and he admits to it, he's just texting carelessly about it. And we gotcha.
To an illegal bookmaker. He's texting, not knowing the difference between a bookmaker and DraftKings, which he also said, having also had a different story the night before the story broke. But my question is, do you have friends who may do things that you don't know about?
Correct. There's no honor among thieves, Billy. You think you know everything. Tim Duncan got ripped off by one of his best friends. He said he'd known him since grade school.
Oh, no.
The true criminal can do this.
No, and like in marriages, there's affairs that clearly, you know, partners correct. Don't know what's going on, right? It seems weird that he's so careful in one aspect and so reckless in the other. And the area where he's reckless, all of a sudden, gets the guy that no one wants to go down, gets him off. And he's good now because we have this crazy reckless text that was sent while the news is coming out.
What I was picturing is because Shohei sleeps so much, I was picturing that Ipe would like put Shohei to bed and then put on college lacrosse and start gambling on every possible game, watch every game, and then Shohei would stir at like 10 in the morning. He'd be like, oh no, hold on, I'll be right there. I'm watching the end of some game in Europe. So I can imagine there's hours in the day because Shohei sleeps so much. Yeah. But clearly, I wonder whether Shohei ever, when they were together and awake, was wondering why they were watching the CFL midweek game. And it seems that Ipe was interested in the outcome of that.
In fairness, if you haven't seen the Saskatchewan Rough Riders lately, they've been terrific. So I think I can back him up on that one.
Am I crazy for like feeling really bad for this guy? Like he just ruined and destroyed his life over what seems to be a very, very severe gambling addiction. And also like destroyed a friendship that he's had for years. The entire thing just makes me feel very sad.
It is tragic, obviously, any type of addiction. But he is taking it. And he's going to be in court today. He could plead guilty to this wire fraud. And everyone is saying, well, it's $1 million or 30 years in prison. He's not going to get 30 years in prison. There's going to be an element of restitution where he has to try to pay Ohtani back, the victim of the theft. And he obviously won't be able to do that. And query, where's the other 24 million? Mm-hmm. He lost 40, stole 16. Does he owe 24 to the bookie? And is the bookie going to break his legs or just say, hey, it's on me, it's good? Or do they go to Ohtani as the creditor?
Where is Stugatz today, by the way?
Stugatz could offer some more color on this situation. But to Jess's point, just the sadness of the whole gambling addiction, legendary bettor Billy Walters in his book had this quote, the biggest thrill for a bettor is winning a big bet. But the second biggest thrill is losing a big bet. Like that is this lifestyle. You were just completely stuck.
You never
in this
feel more
cycle.
Alive than one that's pulling the chips away.
But you know what this reminds me of? You guys watch the TV show Shogun. Sometimes you gotta fall on your sword for your home.
Whoa. What are you doing?
Alleging a fall guy?
What are you doing?
This is a great fall guy.
Things that's happened.
What are you
Ryan
doing?
Gosling, no Shohei,
I couldn't
Shogun.
Talk to you about it yesterday.
Okay, hold on. Let's entertain this idea. Let's say he is the fall guy. David, what kind of prison time are we looking at here?
De minimis. I mean, it's theft. I would say.
I know what that word means, but for those that don't.
Not a lot. Not a lot. I would say it could be 1 to 2 years. I wouldn't expect it to be more. It is a big deal, obviously, this type of theft and fraud, but there are thefts and frauds alleged fraud. that are far bigger than $16 million. It's just famous because Shohei's famous, but rich people get money stolen from them all the time. So it's not 30 years. Take the under if you can find that on DraftKings.
But it's a scenario where 1 or 2 years, it's ripe Jesus. For a fall guy situation to protect $700 million.
And anyone see Rising? What is the movie, Adnan, with Sean Connery and Wesley Snipes?
Rising Sun.
Rising Sun. Yeah. We all know what happened in that movie.
We got.
I don't even know what happened in that movie.
Yeah, all for those that don't, David, can you tell us in like 5 seconds?
1993 classic. Well done, David.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess the sun came up.
did you guys see the part in what came out yesterday where one of the, I guess, bookies or whatever was following Shohei while he was walking his dog? And he's like, hey, I can't get a hold of you, but I'm looking at victim one here walking his dog. I may go up to him.
He got a call back immediately from Ipe after that, didn't he?
Do we have dueling top fives? Because we have 50 seconds left in this segment, and I'd like to rifle through them if we could.
Yes.
The fastest dueling top fives ever. Billy, get ready on the fanfare. Per custom, we begin with David Samson. What is this top five? What are these top
Andy
five?
Garcia's top five. Birthday.
It's Andy Garcia's birthday, a local hero. We love him. We love you, Andy. Number five, Passengers. Number four, Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
Oh,
that's a great
number three. Love that movie. Internal Affairs. Number two, Ocean's 11.
Number one, City Island.
All right, Dan, per custom, you close us out.
All right. By the way, City Island, his daughter's in it. She plays a stripper. Number five, Night Falls on Manhattan. Number four, Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead. Number three, Stand and Deliver, inspirational teacher movie. Number two, I'm the only one ever to call you Uncle Michael, Godfather Part Three. And number one, Samson, shame on you, it's The Untouchables. Here endeth the lesson.
Wow. You guys did well. David and Adnan, we'll talk to you soon. Catch Nothing Personal with David Samson. Or are you still doing the City Winery things?
Yeah, I've got a show on Monday in Nashville and Thursday in Pittsburgh and then New York City on Monday, April 29th.
Hey. All right, catch him there.
No Father of the Bride?
I didn't like it.
What? Oh. Crazy.
Watered down original.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs in premium regular beer.